Good afternoon, everybody. This week's Parsha, Parshas Vayechi, has something that is very unusual from all of the Parshios in the Torah. We have a working assumption whenever we learn Chumash that every word in the Torah that is written is there for a very particular reason and for a very specific purpose. What is special and unique about this week's Parsha is that we learn something from that which is not written. So Rashi opens up our Parsha and says, if you'll notice, at the end of every Parsha in a Sefer Torah, there is some kind of space in between the end of the previous Parsha and the beginning of the following Parsha. And yet, when it comes to Parshas Vayechi, we have what we refer to as Parshas Ustuma. There are no breaks in between the different sections of the story in our Parsha. Everything seems to be a run-on sentence. Everything seems to be a rolling paragraph. And Rashi asks, why is it that Parshas Ustuma, why is it that this Parsha, not that there are any extra words that we learn from, but why is it that there are no spaces throughout the entirety of the Parsha? That seems to be something that is very unusual. And Rashi answers, Lefisha kivan sheniftar Yaakov Avinu. In this week's Parsha, as we know, we are introduced to the death of Yaakov Avinu, as it starts off, Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shvah esrei shana. Yaakov lives 17 years, and then he dies. And that was the end of his life. But once he died, says Rashi, Nisnemu einayam velibam shel Yisrael. There was some kind of obstruction. There was some kind of blockage or an impediment of the eyes of the Jewish people, and they would no longer have a perspective that they used to have. And the reason for that is Mitzaras Hashibut, because of the difficult situation, because of the horrible predicament they were in, Shehizchilu l'shabdam, the Egyptians began to enslave them. And therefore, they were no longer able to have the perspective that they once had. And I always found this Rashi to be a very powerful lesson, and that is that very often in our own lives, here, living in America, when we don't have, thank God, we don't have the Mitzrayim enslaving us, and we don't have all of those problems, but we have a lot of enslavement that sometimes we impose upon ourselves or others impose upon all of us. So everybody works for a living, and sometimes you have certain pressures that you would rather do without, but that's the reality of life. And everybody has family obligations and communal obligations, and everybody has many, many different pressures that sometimes overwhelm us, and we get so absorbed, and we get so consumed and obsessed with all of these different things in our lives, either our schooling, or our occupations, or our professions, or our own successes, that sometimes we lose perspective. And that's what Rashi says. Mitzaras Hashibud. Not that this is synonymous with the Shibud of Mitzrayim, but sometimes we get so overtaken by whatever it is that we're busy with that we don't leave time to really focus on the things that are most important. And no longer were the Jewish people able to have the proper perspective that they once had. I believe it's no coincidence that in next week's Parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be the leader of the Jewish people, and God has the first encounter with him, the first thing that we know about Moshe Rabbeinu is Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros. Shouldn't say it's the first thing we know. It's the first thing we are told when he engages with the Shekhinah, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Moshe Rabbeinu focused in order to be able to see and pay attention. That is the mark of a great person. Moshe Rabbeinu was a fugitive. Moshe Rabbeinu was scared for his life. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know where to go. And yet with all of that pressure and with everything that was going on, I'm sure he was consumed thinking every minute, how am I going to get away? How am I ever going to save myself? After all, he grew up in the house of Paro. He was royalty. And now he was left to nothingness. He ran because he was afraid. If I stick around, I'm going to be killed. He didn't know what was going to happen. And yet with all of that going on in the back of his mind, he notices something out of the corner of his eye. Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros. God is impressed by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take away from all of that that's going on around him, from his clouded vision, and take a focus on what it is that was in front of him. That is not something that everybody is able to do. That is something that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us is an important quality for a human being. In the very end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, we find that Parshas Nitzavim opens up. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, here, we are all gathered together. Kulchem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. All of you are standing in my presence, but more importantly, in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. And who was there in that assembly? That was Rasheichem, Shivteichem, Ziknechem, Vishotreichem, every echelon of society at the time, Kol Ish Yisrael. Everybody came together, and all of them were gathered in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only the men. It says, Tapchem, the children, Nisheichem, your wives, all the females were there, V'gercha asher b'kerav machanecha. Everybody was together. And Rashi there writes, why did Moshe Rabbeinu gather them in? What was so important at the end of his life? Why did he need everybody there? Says Rashi, Shekein asa Yehoshua b'sof chayav. Yehoshua ben Nun did the same thing at the end of his life. He gathered everybody in. And this is what Rashi says, Shmuel, the great Navi, did as well in his lifetime. He gathers everyone together. And that was at a point when he was Mamlich Shol. The first king of the Jewish people was Shol HaMelech. When Shmuel anointed Shol to be the leader of the Jewish people, he gathers everybody in, and he wants them to be together in order that he should be able to impart his message. What is this all about? Why is it Atem Nitzavim? I understand Moshe Rabbeinu wants to give his last opportunity at drushas or wherever he wants to talk about, and he wants to leave over instructions that everybody should behave when you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Make sure you treat Yehoshua ben Nun nicely. I get it. But why does everybody have to be standing? What's Atem Nitzavim Hayom? Why are you standing? So I think the literal translation just means, not that they were standing in an erect position, just means you are all assembled here. But one of the Mefarshim says, Rabbi Eliam Leir Bluch, the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, says that's not what it means. The pasuk here, Atem Nitzavim, means that today Moshe Rabbeinu made all of them stand. Why? Because it's imperative that in the busyness of life, every so often, we stop everything else that we're doing, and we come to a standstill, and we focus. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, here we are at a critical moment in Jewish history. This is a transitional period. You've been used to my standard of leadership. You've been used to my style of leadership. And now it's time to transition over to Yehoshua ben Nun. It's important that all of us take a moment to stop doing whatever we're doing and to focus solely on this moment. Take it all in and have the opportunity to understand and internalize what the significance of this moment really is. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, that is why we need to come to a standstill. Atem Nitzavim. In figurative terms, it means you are all standing because you have to stop the busyness of life in order to appreciate the moment that you're in now. You needed some pause, you needed some calm in order to really understand what this is all about. In Parsha Shemos, once again, we're going to see that next week Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the palace. Vayigdal Moshe vayetze el Echav. Moshe Rabbeinu finally goes out from the confines of Paro's palace. And Vayar b'siv lo sam. Moshe Rabbeinu sees the suffering of the Jewish community at the time. And what does he see? Vayar ish mitzri, and he sees that there's an Egyptian, Make ish ivri me'achav. He sees that he's hurting one of his brothers, one of the Jewish people. And what that means is that Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you mean he saw? Everybody else saw the same thing as well. Moshe Rabbeinu was one of millions of Jews, and there were plenty of people roaming the streets. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who saw. What does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu saw? Vayar? If you walked on the streets, any corner that you looked on in Mitzrayim, you saw the same thing. So what's special about Moshe Rabbeinu? What's unique about him is that he actually, with all the tumult going on in Egypt, and with all the noise walking through the streets, he's able to pay attention, he's able to notice. That's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, which we find again in Parshas Balak. In Parshas Balak, we have the story of Zimri, Ben Salu, Kozbi, Bas Tzur. We have a major problem that happened. V'hine Ishmi b'nei Yisrael ba. Vayikrav el Echav es Hamidyanis le'enei Moshe le'enei kol adas b'nei Yisrael. You have Zimri and Kozbi doing a terrible act, a disgraceful act, not in the privacy of their own homes. Many people violate an Avera when they're on their own, when nobody else is watching. But this was done in a brazen fashion. Everybody's watching in front of the entire Jewish community, le'enei b'nei Yisrael. And yet, v'heima bolchim pesach o'amoid, everybody's crying, how could it be, such a breakdown, look what's going on, a Jew can act in such a decadent manner. And yet, with all that going on, the next pasuk says, v'yar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas sees what's going on, v'yaka mitoch ha'eda, and he stands up and he says, something needs to be done. Vayikach romach biyado, and he takes revenge, and he makes sure to straighten out the horrible situation that was happening then. And you have to ask yourself, Vayar Pinchas? Pinchas saw? The pasuk right before writes that this act of depravity was done in the presence of the entire Jewish people. So what do you mean, Pinchas saw? Everybody saw. Everybody saw the same thing that he saw, but the answer is sometimes we can all be looking at the same experience, we can all be watching, and yet it takes one person to have a clarity of vision, to have an appreciation and understanding of what this moment actually is. Everybody can see the same thing, but not everybody fully understands the gravity of the moment. Pinchas was considered to be a great person because when everybody else is watching, he's the only one who understands what he's looking at. Moshe Rabbeinu Vayar Hashem Kisar Leros. He sees that Moshe Rabbeinu is not like everybody else. Moshe Rabbeinu has the ability to focus on something that he sees and to understand what it means for him and what it means for the situation in front of him. And that is why Pinchas gets the great bracha, Hineni Nosein Lo Esbrisi Shalom. Rabbi Fran has in one of his books when he describes what it was like, Rachmana Litzlan, for a person to be in a state of aninus. And I always find whenever we have people in our community who are in a state of aninus, which is the limbo period, after they've suffered a devastating loss of a relative, before they have an opportunity to do a kvura, and especially when it's a protracted period of time, not always does the burial happen right away. Sometimes you need to wait for relatives to come from out of town. Sometimes there's a yomtif in the way, and therefore you have to wait. And it's a very uncomfortable time of aninus, because you don't know where you are. You haven't started sitting Shiva. People are not yet supposed to be menachem you. The Shulchan Aruch says it doesn't make sense to be menachem someone b'shah shemeso muta lefanav, which parenthetically is a very strange custom that we have in this community, that whenever there's a funeral, people go into that side room before the funeral starts and offer their condolences. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. It's really incorrect. It's a nice thing to show that you're there and to show respect to the family that you've gone out of your way to attend, but it's an inappropriate thing to say that you offer condolences. The Gemara says that person at the time when they're suffering so much at the heat of the crisis, at the moment before the burial, they're not in a position to even accept your nechama. And it's almost like disrespectful to offer it at that time because they're still reeling from the tzara that they're going through. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's not a right thing to do. So Rabbi Fran writes about when he was in this period of aninus. And as we know, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, from the Rishonim, that you're not allowed to do any mitzvos at that period of time. Which means you don't daven, you don't put on tefillin, it means you don't do all the mitzvos that you're expected to do. Don't make a mistake. Somebody called me recently and said, do I have to also eat kosher food when I'm an onen? So I said, just because it says you don't perform mitzvos, it doesn't mean you're allowed to violate averos. It doesn't mean now you're allowed to eat non-kosher food or you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. It just means that temporarily you're supposed to have a complete focus on what's in front of you, which is the mace, and really paying attention on everything that needs to be done for that purpose to be as best as it should be, for that mace to have as much kavod as they should. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chachamim said, that we don't have an obligation to observe positive mitzvahs because it's going to take away our focus. If I'm going to have to think about, am I going to make it to shul on time, I have to put on my tefillin before this, I have to say Kriya Shema before that, it's going to throw off my schedule, and all I should be doing right now is writing a hesped, preparing for a levaya, calling people who need to be called. Outside of that, I should not give any attention to anything else. But one of the things that's very difficult for people to remember, to tell an onen, don't wake up for shachris tomorrow morning, they can live with that, they'll be okay. To tell them, don't run out in the freezing cold at night to daven ma'ariv, they'll be alright. But the problem often that they find themselves in is, we're so used to making brachas all the time, that right before you pick up a cup of water, you instinctively make a bracha. And before you eat something, you instinctively make a bracha. And you keep catching yourself. Oh, I'm not supposed to. I'm in aninus. It's not really right. So he writes the story about his mother who passed away in Seattle, Washington. So he had to fly all the way from Baltimore to Seattle, Washington. I assume it's a 4 or 5 hour flight, maybe longer, 6 hours. And he said that he was on the plane and he kept catching himself every time they served soft drinks throughout the flight. He was so thirsty, he was so exhausted, but he kept drinking. And he said every time he picked up a cup of water, he started to drink, and then he caught himself. I'm not supposed to make a bracha, I'm in aninus. And he said it was the first time that he thought about it. What is the point? Why do we have a period of aninus? And he said it dawned on him. Maybe the reason why is because life gets so busy and so routine that I make brachas all the time, and I don't ever think about what I'm doing. And he said this was the first time in his life when he was resensitized to the fact it's a privilege to make a bracha. It's a privilege that I'm not given when I'm in the state of aninus, because I have other things I should be focusing on. And he said it was the first time he gave him an opportunity. Vayar Hashem kisar liros. Nistimu einayim v'libam shel Yisrael. Sometimes the Jewish people, sometimes human beings in general, are so busy, they're so obsessed, they're so caught up with whatever it is that's going on around them, they don't have an opportunity to really appreciate the mitzvahs that they do every day, the brachas that they have the privilege to make, and everything else that life is all about, the nachas that they have from their children, the wonderful marriages they have with their spouses. We're not able to appreciate it because life is just too busy, and we don't have the opportunity to take a step back and see the overall picture, the overall perspective. And he said this period, unfortunately, of aninus gave him that opportunity to really appreciate and understand what goes on day to day. And that really is what Rashi teaches us at the very beginning of our parsha, that often you have somebody who is involved in a shibud that can have many different ways in which it can play out in a person's life. Sometimes it's imposed by others. Sometimes we impose it upon ourselves. But it's not an excuse for a person not to have a sensitivity, not to have an understanding, and not to have a full appreciation for all that is going on around them in their personal lives and in the community life as a whole.